Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The FT.
This week, France's presidential election after the shock of the terror attacks. You're listening to World Weekly with me, Gideon Rachman. The gunman who claimed responsibility for killing seven people in southwest France has been shot dead by police, bringing to an end the worst act of violent terrorism on French soil since the emergence of Al-Qaeda as a global threat. Campaigning in the presidential election had been suspended in the aftermath of the killing of three children and a parent at a Jewish school in Toulouse, which had followed the murder of three French soldiers. But the first round of the presidential election is now less than a month away, so how have the terrorist attacks changed the political climate in France? Joining me on the line from Paris is the FT's bureau chief there, Hugh Carnegie, and with me in the studio is Peggy Hollinger, an FT leader writer and our former Paris bureau chief. Hugh, if I can start with you, can you assess the impact yet of how this terror attack's likely to play into the election, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it's definitely going to have had an impact. There's no doubt about it. And certainly on the side of President Nicolas Sarkozy, there's a feeling that this could even prove to be a turning point, and it puts him in a position of strength relative to the other candidates. Why? Because it enabled him to play to his strengths, which are very much on the issues of security. As they tend to put it here in France, he reassumed the garb of the presidency rather than that of the candidate. And the pretty swift resolution by the police is regarded as being a success here. And that will have enhanced Mr. Sarkozy's credentials somewhat. It also brings the issue of security, in which, as I said, he's quite strong, to the forefront of the campaign. And already, even before the gunfire had fallen silent, Mr. Sarkozy's lieutenants were aiming their fire rhetorically at the socialist candidate François Hollande and other candidates, saying they just weren't up to it on the issues of security. They weren't taking issues like Islamic fundamentalism seriously enough and were making it pretty clear that they want to keep this issue at the forefront. Now, if they're successful in that, and if Mr. Sarkozy does gain, as it were, a sort of image boost from the way he's handled this, then it could turn out to be an important moment in the campaign.
The other beneficiary, it strikes me, from this event might be Marine Le Pen and the National Front, who, of course, have been, you know, quite strongly anti-immigration and also long warned of the threat of Islamist fundamentalism. Do you think she's likely to gain? Because she did seem to be lagging a bit in the polls.
She has seemed to lose some traction over the last month or so. That's true. And this issue does indeed play into her hands as well, and she's wasted no time in trying to make some capital out of it. That also explains to some degree the keenness of Sarkozy and his camp to play up their credentials on this issue in order to try to neutralise the attack from the right from Marine Le Pen.
Peggy, now you covered the last presidential election, and Sarkozy is a formidable campaigner, as we discovered last time around, and he appeared to be gaining in the polls even before the terrorist incident. He was getting some traction and having been in a relatively dangerous position about a month ago, it looked like he was close to being down and out.
Exactly, and I think one should never underestimate the formidable talents of essentially a political animal who knows how to work campaigns. But even for him, I think the gap between him and François Hollande looked quite disastrous. And I think
just remind us how big what was it looking like, say, a month ago? I mean, Hollande was how many double-digit leads?
That's right. You did see that Sarkozy was beginning to creep back, but he was beginning to creep back just a little bit too late. It was getting awfully close to the deadline. I mean, the sort of accepted wisdom is that you watch the polling in February for a fairly good guide of where people will end up in the first round, and he was significantly behind Hollande, and he's still significantly behind him for the second round, although this terrorist incident actually has resulted in a significant boost in the polls. The latest I've seen today, he have seen that he's gone up a point or two on the back of just what's happened over the last few days. The difference between this campaign and the previous campaign is that, first of all, he wasn't behind in the last campaign. Remember who he was running against, Ségolène Royal, actually François Hollande's ex-partner. And the problem with Ségolène is that she was a highly divisive person within the left as well as within France as a whole, and she didn't really have a credible program. So really, he seemed to be the only sensible option in the last campaign. In this campaign, a formidable campaigner who has been the incumbent through a very difficult economic period was still nonetheless, you know, significantly behind a man who's never held, you know, government office and who himself is slightly vague about what exactly he stands for, because he has to be careful not to alienate the left. So it really did look very bad for Sarkozy that in that context he was significantly behind. So, you know, these latest incidents really do play into his favor. I think the key element will be to be continue to be presidential and not to be seen to profit from this particular situation, because if he's seen to be using it for campaign gains, if it's blatant, the French will actually be repulsed by that, because then it will exacerbate this image they have of him where they don't like his brash style, they don't like his opportunism. So now, he has to be careful.
Looking back at the Sarkozy that, if you like, that you followed 5 years ago in 2007 when he was first elected, How far has he lived up to the hopes that he raised back in 2007? Because he was quite a dynamic candidate, a man who promised to change France. Do you think that the fact that he's, you know, was behind in the polls reflects a strong sense of disappointment with him as a president?
Oh, absolutely. I think the difference is that we've had a crisis. He made promises in 2007 and the world changed in the autumn of 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed. So, you know, to a certain extent, the promises he made became null and void as a result of events that were, you know, far, far greater than France or him. But it's true, there's a great deal of disappointment with him, because there are a few things that are very important to the French, one of which is purchasing power. And there's a real bitterness because people feel that he has not carried out his promise to improve their purchasing power. Again, partly the result of the crisis, but they also feel, because of his persona and his behavior, that he's a friend of the rich. And one of the first things he did when he came in was cut tax breaks. And he introduced what's called the tax shield, which meant that the wealthier people would never pay more than 50% of their income in taxes. And these were all seen as Sarkozy lining the pockets of the wealthy rather than focusing on the purchasing power. To be fair to him, I think he has done a lot. I mean, if you look at who else was a potential challenger at the time, nobody was proposing that France actually had to face up to its debt problems, that it had to face up to its budget problems. There had been an attempt under the Chirac government, but not with enough desire or energy to push it through. And Sarkozy came in and said, look, we have to reform, we have to modernize. He has done a lot, but also he's had to deal with the crisis and he's had to deal with a nervous and anxious country.
Hugh, looking at the campaign now, I mean, what before the terror attack were the major issues? Was it, as the Americans like to say, the economy stupid, or were cultural issues and other things beginning to play in?
Well, the expectation was that it would be about the economy, and polls have shown that the biggest worries amongst the electorate are things like unemployment and purchasing power, very much economic issues. But the election campaign had got somewhat sidelined into arguments about levels of taxation, viewed from the outside, this rather peculiar feature of France where you get popular as a politician by proposing new taxes, especially on rich people. It is true, too, that even before the attack, the issues of immigration and the role of Islam in French society were being debated, forced onto the agenda, it has to be said, to quite a degree by Marine Le Pen, and picked up by Mr. Sarkozy's side because they are afraid, obviously, of losing votes to Le Pen's National Front. Now, what's going to be really interesting is to see whether after this terrible event this week, whether the issue of the economy reasserts itself in the 4 weeks that are left up to the first round, or whether we do continue to be dominated by what is now the issue of the day, which is security, as we've discussed. One would think that the economy must reassert itself at some point, because we have in France unemployment running at close to 10%, we have the issue of the severe budget deficit and the high debt, as many neighboring countries in Europe have also, of course. And both sides, one would expect, would have their feet held to the fire on these issues, which ought to be decisive.
My impression from watching the campaign from outside France was that Hollande had really managed to ignite his campaign with a quite powerful speech when he talked about waging war on the world of finance and so on, and that he was suddenly being reassessed as actually rather a strong candidate. Now he seems to be having to take a bit of a back seat because of the terror attacks. But what's your impression of him as a candidate? Do you think he's capable of having a strong last month ahead of the first round?
I think there's a question mark over that. He surprised everybody, I think, with the launch of his campaign. As you've mentioned, this powerful speech at Le Bourget. He followed that up with the launch of his manifesto and a very strong television broadcast, the first of many, it has to be said. And he, I think, surprised people in the way that he became quite quickly a much more convincing candidate who seemed at home in his own skin. He seemed to be enjoying the campaign trail in a way that even quite a lot of people in his own party who weren't particularly enthusiastic about his candidature were surprised. And indeed, a sign of that was that the party fell into line behind him. There was none of the kind of disunity that Ségolène Royal suffered last time around. Then the rhythm changed a bit when Sarkozy himself entered the campaign. As you have said, he's a formidable campaigner. He was relentless over the first few weeks of the campaign. He stumbled a bit, but he got back on his feet, and he was beginning to claw his way back in the polls. Is it too late? That might be the case. Now we've had this event, and I think there is a very big test now for Hollande. Can he get himself back in the forefront and become a candidate who is more than just the anybody but Sarkozy candidate? Because the polls show that a great deal of the support that is attributed to Hollande is down to a factor of people not wanting to vote for Sarkozy again. And it's there that Hollande, I think, has really to persuade people. And it's there that the Sarkozy camp believe that these polls, as they put it, are built on sand, because they believe a lot of people haven't really made up their mind and that they can swing it back their way. There's still a pretty big gap, so it's going to be tough. But I think the game is on.
Peggy, you were nodding your head there.
Well, I was. The one point I wanted to make, and I absolutely agree with everything, Hugh, is that if the debate stays on security, that is the Achilles heel for the socialists. Never forget that. It's a difficult one where they struggle to unite the left over how they should approach questions like immigration and security. Ségolène tried it when she was running, and it caused all sorts of problems for her. Can the socialists and can François Hollande look to be a strong leader that can take strong steps in terms of security? That is naturally Sarko's domain. But actually, in the wake of this event, it's going to be important.
One other issue we should perhaps discuss, Peggy, is that this campaign is taking place in the middle of a European debt crisis, which is slightly in abeyance now, but clearly hasn't gone away. How do you fit what's happening in France within the European context? Or is it just, as the French say, what do they call it, a Franco-Franco debate?
Franco-Francais, yeah. Well, I think there are lots of things. Sarkozy has tried to sell himself as the calm captain, of a ship in a terrible storm. He has been the savior of Europe. He's used that. I mean, to be fair, in previous campaigns, foreign affairs and external economy have not really been priorities for the French. But in this context, I think with austerity in Europe and growth, it's a bigger issue than it has been in previous campaigns. As far as this crisis is concerned, when you look at the opinion polls, what's interesting is partly because of his handling of the crisis, the French actually trust Sarkozy to manage them through the crisis. They just don't like him, and they don't think that growth is going to come back. They're quite pessimistic about that. And they don't like him because he's a brash man who has been seen to be very, to alienate the conservative French in La France Profonde by a private life that's in front of their faces, by his sort of bling attitude. And all of this attempt to reclothe himself in the garments of a president is all about telling the French, look, I'm different, I've changed, I can manage the crisis and I can manage the economy. Hollande doesn't get a lot of confidence in managing the economy, but they get a lot more confidence with Hollande, I think, if I'm right, Hugh, in terms of here is a man who will care about unifying France rather than dividing it.
Hugh, just as we come to a close, I mean, we've talked about this election very much as Sarkozy versus Hollande, with Marine Le Pen kind of getting a peek in there. But there are other candidates, and that's one of the kind of interest to the first round of the French presidential election. Anybody else made an impression yet?
Yes, there are 10 candidates altogether, believe it or not. But there, aside from Sarkozy and Hollande, I think there are three that one should mention. Of course, there's Marine Le Pen that we've talked about. She's been riding at levels in the polls far ahead of her father at this kind of stage of the game, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who was the founder of the National Front and her predecessor as party candidate. But as I said earlier, she's lost a bit of traction. It looks like, as things stand at the moment, her threat to, as it were, displace Sarkozy from the second round by winning the right-wing vote is not anything like the threat it seemed to be, say, 2 months ago. The other two candidates that are in the picture are in the centre ground, a man called François Bayrou, who is, as it were, the sort of voice of the sort of liberal stroke social democratic middle, and who is shown by the polls to be personally very popular, more so indeed in some polls than Mr. Hollande and Mr. Sarkozy. But he doesn't have much of a party machine behind him. He's regarded as something of a maverick. He came third in 2007, but frustratingly for him, his personal popularity isn't really translating at the moment into a real breakthrough in the polls. But he's going to be a factor in the second round, because which way will his supporters break is very important for both Hollande and for Sarkozy. And the third one that's worth mentioning, who has been making severe inroads in the last couple of weeks, is Jean-Luc Mélenchon of the Left Front, which is the umbrella that groups France's remaining communists. And he has been stealing votes off Hollande, which partly explains why Sarkozy has been narrowing the gap in the polls against Hollande. And that's very frustrating for Monsieur Hollande. And it explains also why Monsieur Hollande has tended to make sort of left-wing type proposals, such as the 75% tax bracket. Mélenchon is a sharp debater. He's witty and he's straight. I mean, he's not encumbered by having to serve different constituencies. He can tell it as it is, and there's still a strong constituency on the left for that. And so certainly in the first round, there are quite a lot of left-leaning voters who think, well, I'm going to vote for him this time around, at least, just to make my mark.
Well, it's all fascinatingly poised. So let me end by asking you both the impossible question, briefly, Peggy. If you had to guess, how's it going to play out over the next 2 months? What do you see happening?
Well, I think France will be traumatized for the next few weeks. I suspect security will still be top of the agenda. But eventually, I think that the fundamental themes of the campaign will have to come back. And there were shootings in 2002, just before the election. And this is what happened at that time. Eventually, the economic themes came back, because a nation can only stay that traumatized for so long. I honestly don't think I can predict who will win, because one should never underestimate Sarkozy.
Hugh, I mean, again, sorry to put you on the spot.
Here's what some, I think, fairly wise people say, which is, look, the odds have to be to some extent stacked against Sarkozy. There's all the issues about him personally, which Peggy has elaborated. There's also the small matter of the fact that since the crisis erupted in 2008, no incumbent European leader has survived an election. And that's something to keep in mind. However, if Sarkozy can come out on top on April 22nd, if he causes even then a little bit of a surprise, given the polls over the last 4, 5, even 6 months, and he comes out with his nose ahead of Hollande by a few points, then I think, as I said earlier, the game is on for round two. But he is still the underdog, and funnily enough, he quite likes that position. He's the challenger.
Hugh, thanks very much indeed, and thanks also to Peggy here in the studio in London. And that's it for this week. Please do join us again next week. Till then, goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.